is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 10, the stanzas 1 and 3. In the fullness of thy grace, to thy house I will repair, bowing toward thy holy place, in thy fear will worship there. And what follows, Psalter 10, the stanzas 1 and 3. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Revelation 3, the verses 1 through 6. But first we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Revelation 3, the first 6 verses. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Adrian and Jeanette Sinke, who were blessed with the birth of a baby girl. Jimmy Vandenberg, who had an accident on the farm, was taken to the hospital, but could return home again. And Mr. Jan Bredewijk, who needs surgery on his leg in this week as a consequence of an accident in former days. Let us ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast created and upholdeth everything, in thy divine providence, tell this very moment. And then thou wast also carried each and every one of us on thy wings of mercy in the week that has gone by, and also in this morning hour. It is written in thy word, the apostle has testified, that in thee we live, we move, and have our being. May it please thee to grant a deep impression of those matters, how dependent we are upon thee for everything, an impression of what we deserve, then by renewal, then we have read, then we have heard thy holy law. With that precious introduction, I am the Lord thy God, O Lord. Then we would do well each time we hear the law, that we may be given to examine our hearts, whether that wonder has taken place in our life, that by thy free and sovereign grace, by the work of thy Holy Spirit, whether we have been led out of the house of bondage. Then we have heard the Ten Commandments. Oh, then it is so necessary that thou showest unto us by the first time, but each time by renewal the evil, the wickedness, how vain, how carnal our heart is. And that we may learn the prayer of the publican. Then it is so necessary each time by renewal that the Pharisee truly becomes the publican with the prayer upon his lips. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Then in the past week, then in the midst of all our daily labors, in the midst of all our work, in the midst of all our cares, then thou hast yet granted so many blessings unto us and our children, that thou hast not only spared us, but were in other places on this continent, that there are great fires, with death, with destruction, and where many are so distraught And then thou yet granteth unto us in this morning at least to a part of the congregation, and may the time soon arrive that the whole congregation may come up to thy house. Then thou grant us so many blessings above most of our fellow travelers. And may it then be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth us and our children to that true repentance and a place at thy footstool, O Lord. A conversion that is thy work from the beginning to the end. Thou art the Alpha and the Omega, and thou gatherest thy church by word and by spirit. And to that end we humbly beg of thee in this morning and on this Lord's Day for a rich outpouring of thy Holy Spirit, that thy name may be glorified and that thy kingdom may come. Oh, do bless thy word to the hearts of our children, to the hearts of our youth, to the hearts of the middle-aged, and to the hearts of the elderly ones. We are hastening to that never-ending eternity, and we cannot appear before thee as we are born. We need to be born again. And thou wast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. And may we then humbly beg of thee that this morning may be thy set time, that thou may favor us and our children. Oh, thou canst never do it because there is any merit in man. But thou wast written in thy word, to the house of Israel, I do it not for your sake, but I do it for my great name's sake. And may it then please thee to do it in this morning hour. And may souls have come up with that prayer that they have fervently begged of thee, that thou may grant a blessing, oh, with the prayer of the psalmist of old, remember me with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, O Lord. When there have come up those souls with a longing and a thirsting heart for thy favor, O disappoint them not, but gladden them that they may hear thy voice and feel thy embrace, to feel thy special presence, to receive courage on the discouraging way. Oh, when thy Zion looks at self, oh, when they look around, there is no hope and no expectation, but may they be given to look upon thee, oh, upon thy beloved Son, as that willing servant who has come in the fullness of time and who has fulfilled all his work in the state of his humiliation, and now continues the work in the state of his exaltation at thy right hand, and then thy pleasure shall prosper in his hand. And may that take place in this morning hour. Lord, remember all those that could gather. Remember all those in their dwellings. Awake him in thy church, over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. Wilt thou remember all our blessings? Wilt thou remember all our needs? Then we commend unto thee a young couple who were united in holy matrimony in the past week and were together as husband and wife. It is their first Lord's Day. Oh, may it please thee to bless thy word to their hearts, then surely then it shall be an unforgettable Lord's Day. We commend unto thee the father and mother whom thou wast blessed with the birth of a little child. Wilt thou grant a humble and a broken heart that they may be given to see thy special hand therein, and that it may be a little child of many prayers, oh, a child that may be born, to be born again. We commend unto thee the grandparents, the family circles. We commend unto thee all the unborn, the mothers. May it please thee to graciously watch over them and remember also the barren ones amongst us. We commend unto thee the son who was come into an accident, was taken to the hospital, but was privileged to return home. Then thou wast also watched over him. Wilt thou grant further healing and strengthening? Wilt thou remember him in the circumstances of life? Wilt thou remember him together with his parents? We remember a father that is called upon to go to the hospital in this week as a consequence of a serious accident in the years gone by, oh, at that time. Then thou wast so wonderfully spared him, then surely thou wast put thy hand between him and death. And now we humbly ask thee, may it please thee to go with him when he is called upon to undergo surgery, and above all things, that in the midst of the manifold callings, oh, that they may be used for his eternal welfare, remember him with his child. Wilt thou remember all under the physician's care? We commend unto thee the handicapped, all the different circumstances, the difficulties, they are known unto thee. Wilt thou continue to uphold and remember with their loved ones who care for them, or when they are in different places of care, then we commend them unto thee for body and for soul. Oh, do remember and uphold all the mourning ones in our midst. Wilt thou remember our elderly ones, those in the care home, with those that may care for them, with those in their dwellings. Oh, do remember them in the climbing of their years. Above all, be mindful of their never-dying souls. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee that thou may dwell richly amongst us in this morning hour. Wilt thou anoint us with fresh oil from above? Oh, do grant Aaron's and hers. Wilt thou remember all the listeners in thy house and in their dwelling places, and remember all those that have a part in the service, oh, it is true, in the way of prayer, in the way of listening and singing, and then we all have a part. Wilt thou remember those that have a special active part? Do remember the custodians in their manifold labors, those that take care of the sound system, and remember and help also the organist when they may lead the congregational singing. Oh, teach us all that we are so dependent upon thee. May it then please thee to grant a good hour in thy house, and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. Then we have also gathered in the past week the male members of the congregation, and where it has been decided to harden the parking lot, Lord, then we humbly ask thee for thy help, that it may prosper in thy hand, that thou may keep from harm and from danger. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 12, the four stanzas. O Lord, rebuke me not in anger, chasten sore I waste away. Pity my distress and hear me, O Lord, how long wilt thou delay? And what follows, Psalter 12, the four stanzas, and the extra collection today is for the Bethesda Building Fund. in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for the portion of Scripture we have read together, Revelation 3, the verses 1 through 6, and we shall read the verses 1 and 2. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Our text words speak of the letter to Sardis, the dying church, with three thoughts in the first place. A serious condition. In the second place, an earnest admonishment. And in the third place, a threefold promise. The letter to Sardis, the dying church. A serious condition. An earnest admonishment and a threefold promise. Beloved congregation, then by renewal we may consider one of the letters which the exalted Christ at the right hand of the Father has written to the churches by the means of the Apostle John. Then what a privilege it is when a church is still worthy to receive a message from heaven. There are so many places where the Lord does not come anymore with His Word, where the candlestick of His Word has been removed. And it is true, in the seven churches of Asia Minor, there was a need for letters in the way of exhortation, in the way of warning, but also in the way of encouragement. Because the church here below is on enemy territory, that triple-headed enemy, the world, the devil, and the traitor within. And now the love of Christ, that He has sent those letters to those churches, because the true church, that is the blood-bought bride of Christ. And then, boys and girls, then you can remember that we have already considered four churches. Can you remember those names? Perhaps you have looked on a map where they were. Then first the church of Ephesus, then somewhat northward the church of Smyrna, further northward the church of Pergamos, and then further to the east going southward the church of Thyatira, and now in our text words, the church of Sardis, that is further southeast of Thyatira, approximately 80 kilometers to the east of Smyrna. Then that church that was in a city that had a special location. It was on a river, and they tell us in the sand of that river, there was much gold to be found. Then northward of the city, there were the mountains. And now between that river and the mountains, There was a large plateau, approximately 1,500 feet above the river, and that is where that city was located. Thus it was a city in a very safe position. We would say very difficult, nearly impossible for the enemies to conquer. That city was on a road of trade between other cities, and to that end, it has become very prosperous. It was by a fertile valley where there were orchards. It was a city of merchandise. And now in that city, the gospel of Jesus Christ has been brought, and there a church was planted. The Lord has worked mightily, irresistibly, and lovingly with His Holy Spirit. And there many were converted unto the Lord. They have received the minister, because it was written to the angel of the church who that was, we do not know. And now what do we read of this church? Then in the introduction, these things saith he that had the seven spirits of God. The number seven in the scriptures, that is the number of fullness, thus the fullness of the Spirit in the way of His works, in the way of His graces, and in the way of His gifts. And then by renewal, then we read also concerning this church, I know thy works. That is the expression that we read in the letters to each of the churches, that the Lord beholds all the children of men, that the Lord beholds the people in the church, from the smallest boy and girl to the oldest one in our midst, that He knows our works, not only when we come up to God's house, but also the other 6 days of the week. And there is a people upon the earth, because concerning those works, then the Lord also knoweth all our sins. May I ask you, congregation, in this morning hour, how have you lived with your sins? Have you thought about them? Have you brought them before the Lord in particular? Oh, as the prayer, have you become the publican in this past week that you had to confess, "Ach, Lord, in this week I have spoiled it all with my good intentions. Then I am nothing but a sinner still, a sin against the good doing and against the holy God. Oh, Lord, is there yet mercy for such a sinner as I am? Oh, is there a people that have been exercised therewith? Because young and old, I know thy works. The Lord knoweth our sins, and we have heard out of our text words that the Lord demands a perfect obedience in the beginning and in the end. And now in this church, then we read, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest. That, of course, is much better than when we already have the name that we are dead. In Proverbs 22, verse 1, there it is written, that a good name, that is rather to be chosen than great riches. Thus that church of Sardis, the congregation, they had a name, that it was a living church. And in this church, we do not read of matters that have been addressed in the other churches. Then we do not read that there were Jezebels in the midst of the congregation. We do not read the warning against the doctrine of Balaam, how he has enticed the Israelites to sacrifice to other gods and to commit the sin against the seventh commandment. Then in this letter, then we do not read of those Nicolaitans. Then we do not read of those special sins. But then we read that it was a church that had a name to live. Oh, perhaps when visitors from that city came, then they were impressed with the reverence in God's house of the faithfulness of all the members, that they faithfully came up to God's house, oh, an attention that they hung on the lips of the minister, that they said, that is now a living church. Thus then there were many good and many profitable things in this church. Then there was still a separation between the world, because congregation, it is not only in our time that we have the many temptations of the world. It is true, they are becoming much greater, but also in the early church, in that heathen culture, it was not so easy for fathers and mothers with their children to be a separate people. Thus that church, also in the city of Sardis, in that city of commerce, then it was a church that had a name to live. And now for that congregation, then, boys and girls, we have mentioned it before, then how the whole congregation must have listened to each word that they must have spoken about this letter, that on a certain morning, that the minister has said, and that we have received a letter from the Apostle John from the island Patmos, given by the exalted Christ at the right hand of the Father. Then we can understand that from the youngest to the oldest, they must have listened. And now concerning these letters, it is already the fifth letter, and we have already heard many solemn, also many beautiful, also encouragements in those letters. And then when we have heard those letters, then we would all do well personally and as a congregation to say, is it now I? With the institution of the Lord's Supper, when Christ has said that there would be one that would betray him, then those disciples, Peter did not say it must be another one. No, then they have said, is it I? And then Judas, when he has heard the other one say it, then he also says, is it I? But then we would do well, congregation, each and every one of us, also concerning this letter, that we would be given to examine ourselves, is it I? Thus, precious things written of this church, that in the midst of the churches, in the midst of the community, that they had a name to live. And then what a shock must have went through the congregation when the minister continued to read that letter, and that they heard, I know thy works, that thou hast the name, that thou livest and are dead. That word has come to the whole congregation. For the unconverted, I read in Ephesians 2, verse 1, that we are dead in sins and trespasses. Can be for the temporal believer, have a name to live, but where the Lord has never begun. But when we read in our text words in the context, and what is written concerning that church, then it also applies to the living church. What a solemn message to the people of God. Thou hast a name that thou livest. It was a church that still had a form. And let us not despise the form. The late Reverend Franya has said in a certain place, perhaps in a sermon, he says, if we do not hold onto the form and the Spirit withdraws, then we have nothing. And then he has said, but then there shall be people say, but if we only have the form. You know what Reverend Franya has said? He says, people, then we still have a place where the Spirit of God may work in our hearts and in the hearts of us and our children. Thus let us hold on to the form, of course. Form without the essence is too short. Nevertheless, still a blessing and still a privilege when there may be the form and then the necessity that we may earnestly beg the Lord under the form, when we may still come up to God's house, that it may please the God of all grace to pour out His Spirit richly upon us and our children. Thou hast a name that thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. And what are we now to understand when a church is dead? Was a solemn word to that church of Sardis. And then, of course, concerning the church, it all lies firm in a triune God. But now in the way of exercise and in the way of their condition, then the exalted Christ is given to say, thou hast the name that thou livest and are dead. That is a church that does not have special and unbearable needs. And to that end, they are not so earnest at the throne of grace. A church that does not have riddles which they cannot unriddle, and therefore they are not as that dove, as I read in the Song of Solomon in 2 verse 14, O my dove, that art in the cleft of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me hear thy voice and see thy countenance, for thy voice is sweet, and thy countenance is lovely. That is a church that is not so exercised with her sins. Oh, it is true, in the way of form and duty, they speak of their sins in prayer, but that contrition of heart, those tears are so missed. Then many a times more as a Pharisee, as that poor publican, then it is not a church that has those perplexities where the Lord leads them in unfathomable ways. But when they do not have those perplexities, they can leave the Lord on His place so easy. It is a church that are not exercised with unanswered prayers. Oh, what people that may be given to believe that the Lord has heard their prayer, given to believe that the Lord shall answer at His time. But has the Lord forgotten to be kind? Shall I His promise faithless find? It is a church that does not have unfulfilled promises, and it is true. The Lord leads His children in such deep and mysterious ways that it seems and that it shall come all to an end. It is a church that can live off former experiences, that is living off former manna that they have received. We shall not mention the time in this morning, but that they can continue to live off what they have experienced, that they are not begging for a new visit, a fresh revelation, a further leading, an instruction from the exalted Christ. Thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. Oh, that is a people that also concerning the worship of the Lord, that they do not so much resemble that heart in Psalm 42 verse 1, as the heart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul, O living God, for thee. Oh, that is a people that does not have those unbearable burdens, because people, we can have those bearable burdens, that we can continue from day to day and from week to week. Thou hast the name that thou livest and are dead. Oh, that is a people that is not so exercised with the coming of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, that can also leave their fellow man go lost so easy. Oh, that is a people that is not so exercised with the first petition, hallowed by thy name, be thy name. Oh, in the life of the church, then it can be so often, oh, what a work the Lord has to bring his people on that place, that they may, oh, what a blessing it is when they may be given to weep about their deadness. Oh, for the child of God, concerning the letter to Sardis, no, when they read it, then they shall not become angry. But if it is well, then a prayer shall arise unto heaven and say, Ach, Lord, wilt thou take that deadness away? Because the Lord has a people that knows that it has been so different. Because the Spirit, he truly quickens, he grants that true life. Thou hast the name to live, but thou art dead in the context. Then it is clear that that church was not completely dead. It was a dying church. And now when you have a person that is dying, that is very weak, then what do we see? Then their breathing is not so regular, and breathing, that is a beautiful picture of prayer. Oh, think of sighing and crying in the Bible. Ah, oh, the Lord has a people upon the earth that they know what it is to sigh and to cry. Oh, a person that is dying, then they shall not walk, then they shall not run in the ways of the Lord. Oh, a person that is perishing, then they shall not be unable to help their neighbor. Thou hast a name that thou livest but are dead. Oh, that is a people in the way of providence that do not need the Lord so much. Then the message to Sardis, then also their physical being, how they have existed, seems to be a close reflection of their spiritual life. Because that city of Sardis, built upon that high plateau, then they tell us, humanly speaking, was nearly impossible for an enemy to conquer. Historians tell us that in the time of King Cyrus, king of the Persians, when he has come westward, then that people in Sardis, they were self-confident, complacent. They thought, we are built on this rock. The enemy can come. We have nothing to fear, although history tells us that the king, that he has asked a lawyer about his thoughts, and that lawyer said to the king, Be careful that you do not trust too much upon the circumstances. And we can never be happy until we have conquered all things in our life and what has happened when the Persians have come. Then in the night, also may be referenced when Christ says as a thief in the night, then on a certain side of that rock there was erosion, and then the Persians in the night watches, then they have managed to come into that city, and it was conquered. Thus in the way of providence, also for the people of God, not that close, not that tender, and not that dependent life, living out of the hand of the Lord, and that the Lord, many times for us people, think of the Bible, what an examples we have of those, oh, think Elijah, for him the prayer has become true, give us this day our daily bread. Thou hast the name that thou livest, and thou art dead. That is a church that is not of such severe conflict with the prince of darkness, of his assaults, oh, the wiles of the devil, those sharp arrows, and many times he comes with the truth. We do not read in this letter that church, that congregation of Sardis, that they were persecuted, as we have heard of another congregation, oh, a dead church, a general rule, that is a silent church, that is not such an active church, that is a church that does not afflict so much harm and damage on the kingdom of Satan. And when that church is silent, and when they do not inflict so much damage, perhaps a dead church is one that does not warn honestly, that their lips so many times are closed, and therefore they do not arouse the enmity of the world, the religious world, and also the world as such. Thou hast the name to live, but are dead. And then young and old, may we all turn unto ourself, and that we say in this morning, Lord, is it I? A name to live and are dead. People of God, have we been exercised with that deadness? Because who shall dare to place himself above the church of Sardis? It is true there are times in the life of God's people that they may honestly say before an all-knowing God, oh, that it is not so dead. We hope to hear later in this letter of former times, is it I? Our second thought, an earnest admonishment. Let us first sing. Psalter 230, the first four stanzas. O Lord, thou wast greatly blessed our land. Thou wast brought back our captive band. Thy pardoning grace has made us free and covered our iniquity, and what follows. 230, the first four stanzas. the letter to Sardis, the dying church. A serious condition, and now secondly, an earnest admonishment. Then the exalted Christ still had a message for that church. And that now becomes the wonder of that living church that is given to experience that of self, that they are so dead. The Lord has a people upon the earth that learns that they must live off of grace and grace alone, a one-sided work. And not to excuse their deadness, no. When it may become lively, when the Lord may send a Nathan, thou art the man, then they are given to confess that they are surely not what they ought to be. Where a child of God has received so much, and that the Lord is honored and glorified so little. And now the love of Christ for that church in Sardis, that was not such a light upon the hill, although let us not look down upon that church too much. They still had a name to live. There's still an example in the midst of that city of Sardis, that there was still spoken of that church. And that they did not give an offense. We have mentioned those different sins that are mentioned among those other churches, some of them. They are not mentioned in Sardis, but now the love of Christ, that he still had a word to stir them up. Sometime it happens in an hospital. When you have a person that is very serious and not doing so well, that the doctor or the nurse comes and say, what is your name? What is the date of your birth? And so on, to see how they are doing. And now in this letter, then the exalted Christ for his church, then he is given to earnestly admonish them, and then we read, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain. Thus for that church, Christ has also said in different places to the disciples to watch and pray, and necessary to watch concerning the devil, the world, necessary to watch concerning this evil heart, and necessary concern, there are many things that the church is called to watch unto. But now to continue, what a tender word, be watchful, then that church in Sardis. Hopefully in that church, many tears have flowed, that there was many that says, Lord, I am now the man, and I have not been watchful. I've become too complacent, trusting in the circumstances upon what I have received. I could leave thee on thy place so easy. And now Christ to bring it close and strengthen the things which remain. Thus, church, do not become too discouraged. The Lord has still left many things in your midst. And now it is your calling with the help of God, prayerfully using the means, because the Lord uses means. He works by word and by spirit. A strength in the things which remain, and especially in our day, then discouragement. What a great danger that is for us and our children, for fathers and mothers when you see all the temptations, then you can be so overwhelmed, maybe for our young people, that the devil tells you it is not for you, thus it's no purpose to seek the Lord, to remain in the church, because there you shall never be happy. But young people, the devil is a liar from the beginning, and the Lord has promised to gather his word, where his word is proclaimed concerning to the truth of that word, thus to be given to strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Thus then Christ distressed their condition, ready to die. There is a people upon the earth that knows what that is. Things that are ready to die. Maybe a soul in this morning hour that has been exercised with things that are ready to die. Oh, times that it was different, that you were given to believe that the Lord has begun. No, then you are not a dead church. Then you have not come up as a dead ear. Oh, with those longings, with those desires. And then as a Ruth, sometime every Sabbath day, given to glean, given to take it home. It is true, during the week, to discover that there was also much chaff, but also given to believe that there was grain, those precious gifts from the Lord, and now ready to die, that you cannot even bring forth the right desire, an upright prayer. Oh, do we not read in Isaiah 42, verse 3, of that smoking flax, where the flame becoming lower and lower, and where it seemed that it shall soon be quenched, all come to nothing, and then the devil shall laugh, and the poor soul. But now to strengthen the things that are ready to die, all from the Lord's side, what the Lord has begun, that he shall never forsake. And when we may be exercised in such a way, oh, as a smoking flax, do you then think that the exalted Christ, that he shall let such a one perish? No, it never can, never shall be, because he has engraven them about the palms of his hand. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. In that beginning time, then how tender it is also concerning sin. Then everything is sin. And it can be later in the life of the church, when it is not so tender and not that close life. And then they can so easily try to excuse themselves. But sanctification, we have learned it from Reverend Hellenbrook, from God's Word, that it is only in part. That old man remains that old man, many times trying to blame that old man, that David did not do when Nathan has come. I have sinned against thee and done which was evil in thy holy sight. But now Christ has said, I have not found thy works perfect before God. Oh, then in that statement, what is now necessary? That the church, as Christ not taught his church to pray, forgive us our debtors as we forgive our debts. But now further, oh, then Christ even becomes lower to thy church. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. And to remember, and we go back. And now Christ said to that church that has become so dead, form and duty, but so prayerless and so thankless, now church, go now back to the time when I have found thee dead in sins and trespasses. Remember now that time and compared to bring them deeper into guilt. And Christ says to that church, if you are not convinced of your deadness, then remember that time, how thou wast heard and how thou hast received. When the Lord begins, I'm not saying that everyone exactly knows the time when the Lord has begun that good work. Of course, Paul did, and other ones. But then there shall come a time that we remember how we have heard and how we have received. Then we have heard it as the word of the living God to a poor, hell-worthy, unworthy sinner. Then we have heard every word. And when we went home, then the message was not left on the bench. But then we remembered how we have heard, how we have received, how busy we were with those things. Oh, then we hear in this letter the tenderness of Christ to awaken that dead church, that slumbering church, that they may be given to remember the days gone by and now compare it with today. Then that church only comes deeper in the guilt, and then that a prayer may be born. Oh, Lord, wilt thou revive, wilt thou grant that close, that tender life, that life bound at the throne of grace. Oh, remember how thou wast heard and received. Then sometime we could be astonished that other people were so dead after a church service during the week that it seems that they have not even been in church. But now to this church, then they have no stones to throw and not to blame the Lord. Oh, all our own guilt that we have not watched and hold fast and watch. And then a warning, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. Our last thought, a threefold promise. Then there was still a remnant. There was still a small remnant in that church of Sardis that had that tender, close life at the throne of grace, a dependent life. And then there is written, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. What are we now to understand by those white garments? Then we speak of justification. That is a benefit which Christ has merited for his people. That is a perfect benefit. Of course, there are degrees in that knowledge of justification. But when the church comes in a dead state, then concerning that assurance, they can speak of it, but they shall not live out of it. And in that respect, then the garment shall not be white. But now there was still a remnant that may have that close life and with that full assurance that he have received that garment of righteousness. But more so, then it refers to sanctification. And we have learned from Reverend Hellenbrook, according to the Bible, that sanctification is only in part. And blessed that people, that little remnant, that may be exercised therewith. And that in the evening hour, O Church of God, can so easily pray in the evening that we close the day, forgive us our sins, but 'tis so necessary and profitable concerning that white garment, that particular sins, that they are confessed before the Lord, that in the way of sanctification, that each time by renewal, that white garment is soiled, and that it has to be whitened. To that end, the fifth petition, forgive us our debtors as we forgive our debts, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. How are we to understand it? Oh, that is only through him who is that worthy one. That is the Lamb of God. And do we not read in Revelations 4, verse 11, that those 24 elders, the angels, that they have cried out, thou art worthy to receive all the honor and the glory, for thou hast created all things, and for thy honor they are and were created. And then the promises, read it each time in the scriptures. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white garment. And that is the garments of the saints. As we read in Revelations 19, verse 8, arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. That shall be the portion of the Church of God through the work of a triune God. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. What are we now to understand? Because our children know that those names, they have been written in the book of the life from the Council of Peace in that never-begun eternity. That is those that the Father has chosen to eternal life. Those are the ones that Christ has purchased, and those are the ones that shall be wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. But how can it now be written that Christ is written, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life? Of course, that is not possible, and that is not written in our text words. But oh, it has such a rich meaning for the child of God, because concerning their sins, the justice of the Father requires perfection. He requires satisfaction. And how the many sins they rise up against the sinner. Oh, what an accusers. It is the law. It is their conscience. It is Satan that arises up against the sinner. And the justice of God requires a perfect life and a perfect satisfaction. And now the wonder, that Christ, then he is given to declare to that church in Sardis his precious work, his great work, in the state of his exaltation at the right hand of the Father. Because we read immediately after, not blotting, all the justice of God requires that the sinner with their sins must be sent to eternal perdition. But I will confess his name before my Father and before His angels that speaks of that precious surety, the Mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, interceding at the right hand of the Father, always that High Priest with a breastplate upon His heart, with the 12 names of the children of Israel. And then Christ is given to declare, although everything testifies against the child of God, then Christ may appear with His finished meritorial work. Then He is entered into the veil with His blood. And then He is given to declare, deliver him from going into the pit, because I have found a ransom, as I read in Job 33. Oh, then the Son at the right hand of the Father, then that precious work as intercessor, oh, that high priestly prayer in John 17 that He is given to ask the Father that the church may be where He shall be taken, and that is in eternal glory. Another letter to the churches. The church to Sardis, then we have much to ponder and much to think about. And now the question, how is it now with us? It is true also to think of the whole congregation, but it must begin with us. The Lord has left many precious things in our midst. The Lord has promised to continue to work. But what is our state and what is our condition? Ah, may it please the God of all grace that many dead sinners, that they may be quickened unto eternal life. And now concerning a people of God, then also a special address to the church of God to be given to examine themselves. Oh, the necessity of the prayer, which we read in Ezekiel 37, verse 9. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon thee slain. Then Christ has said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. Lord, then we have heard another message to the one of the churches in Asia Minor. And that is also a message that comes to all of us. May we be given to take that message home. May we be given to lay it before Thee, and that we may turn that message into a fervent prayer, to that end. Grant the spirit of prayer and of supplication, and may it please Thee to do a great work amongst us. Well, to watch over us on this Lord's Day. Well, to grant traveling mercies, and may it please Thee to gather us by renewal around about Thy holy word in this afternoon hour, and pardon also all of our sins of this day hitherto. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 319, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Give thanks and praise to God above, for everlasting is His love. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. The second wedding announcement of Ronald Hendrik Koyman and Hendrika van Gadre. The wedding service is scheduled for Friday, September 18 at 10:30 a.m. with Reverend E.C. Adams officiating. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. There will be a consistory meeting tomorrow evening, September 14, at 7 p.m. Visitors welcome after 8:30 p.m. And next week, Sunday afternoon, it's a correction for the church news. Next week, Sunday afternoon, there will be a reading service where I hope to serve the congregation of Nobleford. Psalter 319, 1, 2, and 4. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.